10 o'clock hour of Wildy's House begins now. Scotty in the ESPN Milwaukee YouTube comments. I was at the game yesterday, and the crowd was fantastic. I don't blame the Pirates for taking Skeens out after he gave up the four runs, and the Pirates stink and have not given him any run support all season. Taking it to arguably the best pitcher in baseball was well worth the price of admission. So that is Scotty's position on this. Let's hold off briefly on the...
I thought Jocko, before you bow this thing, I thought Jocko, not the good, but our buddy from Channel 15, he put a good point out there. Baseball games are too short. I thought that's pretty good.
For those of you that don't know, that's a
we gave you a lot of
grief. It's a callback to years about ago. 2 years ago. For those of you that might not have heard Jocko,
what's better
say
than
that.
1980s? You're always killing me about the 80s.
Yes, said the guy who brought up 1986 today. Yes. Be that as it may, I do want to get to this because before we get to the coach conversation and where Matt LaFleur ranks, something that, again, depends on your perspective, I guess, does or does not live up to the hype. Our friend Alex Strofe throughout the entire KBN crew, right? They all did this?
Yes.
Saw a picture of them. Strofe, who apparently, and I love Strofe. We do weekly Wildy during the Packers season together. We're going to be doing the Packers show, the State of the Packers show at Summerfest on July 5th. So be sure to come out and check that out. 3 hours, him, Gabe Neitzel, and myself. So I love Strofe. The level of overconfidence, though, and then his performance after he expresses it. Sources close to the program tell me that he told Brust, who was catching his first pitch, that he might want to wear a catcher's mask for safety. The person who should have been wearing a catcher's mask was either Gil, the mascot, or the people sitting in the first row behind home plate. Because he sailed the ball to such a degree, and I don't know if this is, was it Ben's wife taking the video? I don't know who it is, but if you hear the audio on it, you can hear her go, ooh, wow, because it's so bad. Well over Ben Brust's head, nearly takes out Gil, the mascot. If only he hadn't run the three cone drill the way he did. He made Jordan Love look good. Jordan Love said he just wanted to make sure he didn't bounce it up there, and he threw that kind of Ephus pitch softly to Christian Yelich. Tausch, you've thrown out ceremonial first pitches. You've had your picture up in the booth when we did the show there. Do we need to have an intervention with Alex Strofe about athletic behaviors? Do we have to have a conversation that maybe he should just give them up entirely? What do we need to do here?
No, I couldn't commend him more. What he's doing is, his job is to provide content. That's his job. He's not an athlete. We all have seen that. The fact that he is willing to embarrass himself and be as open about it as mm-hmm. he does is exactly what he should do. This little clip here, I believe, I don't know how many views it got. It was a substantial amount. Alex Strofe was never an athlete. He's never built like one. He's never been one. But what he is creating content. And his, I don't want to say selflessness, his, I don't know what the word I'm looking for is, but he ain't scared. He will continue to go and do these things, and he is getting a nice audience building on because he's putting himself out there. So do we want to have a conversation with him? Yeah, I'll tell him, kudos, Strofe. Keep it up. Now, do we hope that he gets better and improves? Honestly, no. I want him to continue to get worse because the worse he does, the better he's going to do in his actual life and in his career. If he starts throwing strikes and running four cones good and runs a good 40, that ain't good for him. So what he's doing, I tell you, Strofe, continue to do it. And actually, do less, get worse, because it ain't going to be good for you long-term in your career.
Do you, I do want to know this. Do you believe that this is authentic, or is he purposely being this bad?
I don't think you can purposely be that bad. Like, you can't move like he did. You can't practice that. That is where you're at. And it was, I thought at first maybe that was the case, but no. And it's starting to, you keep looking at it, and it just continues on that path. Like, I'm sure there's something he's good at athletically.
I think he ran
across
country. I don't
think he's found it yet.
Once upon a time, which is hard to believe.
How?
Maybe he can be a distance. He's kind of built. He maybe has a distance running
capability. Change of directions, I guess.
But I can't imagine him being good at golf. Like, I can't. I don't think he's going to be good at tennis. I don't think he's going to be good at pickleball. I don't know where he all fits. But what I do know is he has been very, and I think with the help of our social media queen down in Milwaukee, Maddie Hayes, I think they've come up with what they should do is try a new sport, continue to try and showcase that maybe he's not as bad, but in essence, he's going to continue to get worse. And I think that'll be good for his career.
So per sources close to the program, and their name rhymes with Josh DiMaggio, he said, first of all, if we're looking at his performance in other sports, he was at University Ridge, I assume for maybe the AmFam a year ago. He swung and missed at the ball
yes.
eight times.
Eight in a row golfing. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
So your assessment of his performance is accurate in the golf realm as well. We need video of that from somewhere.
Yeah, we'll find that. We'll dig that up to add to the collection here.
But to Josh's point, and this is, I guess, where I'm curious, it's his underlying belief and confidence that he'll do well, which is so, dare I say, inaccurate or delusional. But again.
Yeah, but I think if you don't believe in yourself, who on earth is going to? And when you watch that
well,
video,
should
nobody
he believe in himself?
Is going to believe.
Look at the reaction.
Are you ever going
to
tell
one
of
the
mascot. Are you ever going to tell anyone in your life, don't believe in yourself? When would you ever tell somebody that? Now, could you say, hey, maybe you being an Air Force pilot isn't going to be for you? You could say that, or let's make sure we're exploring all kinds of other opportunities. But are you ever going to sit and tell somebody, yeah, don't believe in yourself, you suck? Like, is that ever going to come out of your mouth?
Sometimes people need to hear that.
Some people, well, maybe not don't believe
well,
in yourself.
All right,
yourself,
right
but
now,
maybe
Jason Wilde, you seem as if this is the way you're going. Tell Strofe right now, Strofe, you're good behind the mic. You're a content creator. You suck at athletics. Stop doing it. Because that's what you're asking.
I don't know if he sucks at everything. I don't know that. My only suggestion is
that your
instincts
tell you yes.
Beyond reasonable doubt he sucks at everything.
I feel like his overconfidence may be playing into his epic failures. And maybe, again, from a content perspective, you're right. It leads to great content. But maybe a little more humility, a little less overconfidence, maybe there'd be better performance. That's all.
Aren't you actually really opening yourself up with a ton of humility by doing this?
You're humiliating yourself for sure. But again,
is he?
He gives a fist pump like he did something good at the end. He's
is
walking
he though?
Off like the guy in a Breakfast Club.
He is definitely strutting off the mound too, which I respect. Again, I don't. Hey, look, he can do whatever he wants, and I am supportive of it. I'm excited that he's doing this. You are 1,000,000% right. He's creating content.
Like
he's drawing attention.
Okay.
The overconfidence, and again, I didn't experience it. I didn't know about this till I saw it on social media last night. I saw the Chinooks tweeted about it. And again, I'm fine with that. It's great. But I'm told that going into both of these activities, the three-cone drill and the first pitch, that he was very cocky. That's what I was told. And so somewhere, as you well know, with a successful NFL career now behind you, there is a difference between real confidence and fake confidence. Mike McCarthy used to always talk about that. So is it fake confidence, or does he actually believe he's going to be good, and then it goes the way it goes? That's the question.
No, I think he knows. I think he understands who he is, and I think I think he's got swagger to him.
He's just a showman.
I think he knows that he is not. He understands who he is.
There's a golden retriever whose job is to go get the ball, and it doesn't know where the ball is.
Yeah, it's not good.
Not easy to do. So anyway, we love the content he's creating. I had some fun with it on social media as well. Josh DiMaggio says that he claims he's a good basketball player.
Okay.
So I think that would be the next pursuit. The Bucks do that thing where you got to make a layup, a free throw, and a three-pointer, and then you shoot from half court? Do they do that at games too?
There's no way Strofe's got upper body strength to get a ball from half court to the rim. Like, that ain't happening.
Sounds like we have our next opportunity. Maybe it would be better to do it at like a Wisconsin Herd game where there might be fewer folks. But nevertheless, again, thank you for your service.
Is there any way Strofe can get a ball from half court? Watching what I've just seen, does he have any upper body strength to get the ball from half court to the rim? I would be shocked.
He's lithe. I'm going to say he's stronger than he looks.
Okay.
And he was a starter for the Denmark Vikings.
I don't think he's drawn rim.
Okay.
He gets five shots. I don't think he's drawn rim.
Well, the gauntlet has been thrown down, Strofe, so we look forward to your next athletic pursuits and the overconfidence with which you will undertake it. I am confident that right now, and we took advantage of this sale ourselves, got delivery and everything. The last day of the Steinhoffel's summer sale is here. You start with 10% off the entire store, living room, bedroom, dining, and so much more. Then you make your room even more affordable with Steinhoffel's special financing, and you'll get $100, $200, or $300 in MasterCard funding on top of it to spend later. So hurry in. Today is the final day to get these sizzling summer savings. The summer sale, only at Steinhoffel's. Steinhoffels.com. All right, we'll get to football next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
We still love you no matter what. Tausch respects your efforts. Thank you for your service. Keep it up. Last thing on him. Per Josh DiMaggio, Strofe claims he could make 100 three-pointers in 90 minutes. That doesn't sound out of the realm.
90 minutes is a long time.
Yeah. You got to make a little more than one every minute, so you get five, six shots up in a minute, even more than that. I think
that's assuming he has the stamina to like stay with it for 90 minutes.
Well,
though
he mentioned, he also sent me a text that he made a three-quarter court shot as a JV high school player. So I said, okay, well, he might be able to hit rim, but I'm sure that'll be on his docket of things to try and accomplish.
He's definitely a confident guy. That's for darn sure. All right, so. Speaking of confidence, how much confidence do you have in Matt LaFleur? How good is he at what he does? Apparently, Pro Football Focus doesn't think all that highly of him. Jesse, you're the expert when it comes to power rankings. Did you want to do a little power ranking with the NFL coaches that are all ahead of Matt LaFleur because he didn't crack the top 10?
Of course I do. Pro Football Focus, the top 10 returning head coaches. Number one, Andy Reid.
You started at 1?
You're right. We usually start at 10. Number 10, Kevin Stefanski.
Would you rather have... So what we're going to do, Tausch, is would you rather
I like the way Jesse was approaching this, because I know what you're going to say. Would you rather, as the coach for the G&G, and then it could be as the coach of this, and Andy Reid is by far, he's a Hall of Famer, he's got all the championships. Anybody that would say he's not number one right now doesn't know ball.
Sure.
We will go in descending order. Number 2, Sean Payton.
No.
Overachieved with the Broncos last year.
Sean Payton's a good coach, man, but he's that whole thing, and we've spent many an hour on this show discussing him versus Mike McCarthy. Mike McCarthy's resume is better than Sean Payton's. His marketing is not.
It's because he's a heavy set fella.
And with all that said, Denver is my sleeper squad, as I've been very upfront with y'all about.
We've heard about that, yeah.
Indeed you have.
Number 3, Sean McVay.
I get it. I'm not going to fight Jan McVay. He's a wunderkind. He is a wunderkind.
He's not quite the kind anymore, though. He's more of a adolescent.
Pretty
seasoned. He's not even 40. Is he 40 years old?
He is 39. He turned 39 on January 24th.
Going to be 40.
So he's a wunderkind. He's a wunderkind.
Number 4.
I think you just like saying wunderkind.
He does, yeah, no doubt.
I do. That's very
Don't
accurate.
You?
Sehr gut, mein Freund.
It's a very fun word to say.
Number 4, John Harbaugh, Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah. Yeah, I put him at LaFleur.
Number 5, yeah. Mike Tomlin.
Well, this is a sticking point for old T. I like this one. Could have done this from 10 to 5 and gotten to the same point, but hey, whatever.
I'm not going to do that at this point. Mike Tomlin's a really good coach. Matt LaFleur's had, I know you can take the Super Bowl, I get it, and he's been around for a long time. If you were asking me right now today who I'd rather have, it's Matt LaFleur.
Me too. I think I'd rather have him than Sean Payton as well. Sean McVay, I'll take Sean McVay.
I think the other guys...
I was giving my opinion, but thank you for reminding me again that you already
said
that.
I'm reiterating. Oh, I forgot. I can't correct you at all. I was just reiterating the point. All right, continue.
Number 6.
Just reiterating the point by saying, I already said that. Sorry, go ahead.
Jim Harbaugh, number 6.
No.
LaFleur. Why?
NFC championships with the San Francisco 49ers. Everywhere he goes, he's a winner. Comes into the Chargers, takes them to the playoffs last year after they'd underachieved for a number of seasons. Feel like they're on the up and up growing into the system he has in place there. Natty at Michigan. Made Stanford good.
This ain't Michigan. This ain't Stanford. This ain't UC San Diego, man. This is the NFL. He made it to an NFC champion. He won an NFC championship game. He went to a Super Bowl that he lost, right, to his brother. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
No, sorry. That's great. He's been to a Super Bowl. Matt LaFleur is not. I'm taking Matt LaFleur. You'll see what he does without Connor Stallions. Am I right?
We got to the playoffs last year.
So did the Packers.
Next. Number 7, Kyle Shanahan. Can you weigh in on Shanahan without saying Mount Everest?
That was last year. They never even climbed last year, so they're going to be well-rested. They'll have oxygen. They'll get food. They'll get a shovel to clean the poop on the way up. Kyle Shanahan's a good coach. I'm not gonna pull any punches on that. I think he's good. I want to say LaFleur, but I don't love the way LaFleur has kind of acquiesced. The guy came in and tried to steal his wife, his work wife, aka quarterback, and it doesn't seem as if there's a lot of residual. I don't like it. I didn't love when he sat down with that joint interview with him. I didn't love it at all.
You made that clear.
Shanahan's got more of an edge to him than LaFleur does. And I think Shanahan is obviously a really smart, offensive-minded coach. I think Green Bay is going to be better than San Fran, but as we sit here today, I think most people would take Shanahan over LaFleur. I'm going to have to join that club.
Me too, but you just said that. Who's next?
Number 8, Nick Sirianni of the reigning champion Philadelphia Eagles.
No, I'm taking LaFleur, and I know that sounds crazy, but Sirianni was close to getting fired. I think it's super fragile there. I'm not sure how much. Now, he made, I think a decision was forced upon him to get different coordinators in there. He's got a really good D coordinator. I don't trust him. And, you know, I don't think Philly fans trust him either. I think that is one of those cases where you could look at and say they're going to go on a generational run or he'll be fired in 2026. Like, it could go either way. That's where I see that. So I understand people are going to say, oh, Homer, yep, I get it. I think Matt LaFleur is a much better coach than Sirianni.
His new offensive coordinator, because, again, he has lost his offensive coordinator, as he did 2 years ago, as Kellen Moore is the new head coach of the Saints, is Kevin Petullo. He had been the passing game coordinator on offense since 2021, so continuity for the Eagles. But it does feel as if Nick Sirianni is only as good as his coordinators, which might segue into Dan Campbell if he's next on the list.
Don't you sense there's fragility? And it sounds crazy because they're hoisting Super Bowl championship trophies up, and Sirianni found his pulse, but I just envisioned him screaming at his fans in week 2 or 3 last year as that thing was unraveling. And I think Fangio saved his keister.
Yeah.
I think that defense and Fangio saved his, and along with our guy from Wisconsin, I think a keister was saved. I think he is just like that leg lamp in the Christmas story. I think that whole thing's fragile. I do.
Couldn't agree with you more. I am a Nick Sirianni doubter, and I do understand they won a Super Bowl with him, and they went to a Super Bowl with him. But again, when they went to the Super Bowl with him, he had two coordinators who became head coaches after that Super Bowl. And then they still had a winning record, they still made the playoffs, but they were dysfunctional in that middle season between the two Super Bowl trips in 2023. And then they lost in the first round of the playoffs. I'm not sold on him, but I'm not, you know, this is not Philly Sports Talk Radio, so I can't say that I know him especially well. But, again, we're going to find out because he's got a new offensive coordinator, but he still has Vic Fangio, not Nick Sirianni. And I think Vic Fangio's as good as it gets. I think he's really good at what he does, and he was really good last year with that defense.
I spoiled that number 10 is Kevin Stefanski of the Cleveland Browns. So last up, number 9, Dan Campbell of the Detroit Lions. Which means no Matt LaFleur.
This is no shame to Dan Campbell. I think he's done a really good job as the coach of the Lions. But Matt LaFleur is a better X's and O's coach. I think he's much better on offense. And we're going to find out a lot about Dan Campbell this year. We're going to find out a lot. He hired really good coaches. They both got head jobs. Kudos to him. But I'm not putting Dan Campbell ahead of Matt LaFleur. I'm just not going to do it.
That was a great graphic, Jesse, with all those names on there.
Yep,
on the video feed.
Let's try that again.
Yeah, there we go.
There they are.
I owe Dan Campbell an apology because I thought his act would wear thin and it wouldn't work there, and it ended up working out great, and they've won a bunch of football games after starting 1-7 in his first 8 games as the head coach. So I was skeptical, and I'm skeptical again. Nick Sirianni 2.0. He lost both of his coordinators. Let's see what they do. And maybe he's going to prove me wrong and shut me up again. And if that's the case, good for him. But I am still skeptical. All right, so now that we know that that's their top 10, I wonder where they even see Matt LaFleur and why. We'll have that.
11.
I would certainly hope so, but I don't think they did the honorable mention section on this. We'll get to that coming up. Want to remind you, though, as I tell you all the time, had a great meeting with Associated Bank yesterday, making plans for that practice that the Packers do inside Lambeau Field every summer. This year it's on August 2nd. Might be some fun stuff going on at Titletown and at the Associated Bank branch before that practice begins. We'll have more details coming up. But for now, I just want to remind you that they've got great customer service. I always tell you that because it's true. I've experienced it myself. Whether it's early pay, having access to your direct deposit up to 2 days early, whether it's credit monitoring, making sure that you're in a good spot with your credit so you can make the purchases you need, or whether it's fraud protection, which I experienced too. When someone tried to steal my money, they made sure it didn't happen. So go to AssociatedBank.com to find out more. More Wilde and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
This is Wilde and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
So we know Mike McCarthy did not get as much credit as he probably deserved, right? He certainly doesn't get as much credit as Sean Payton does for essentially the same career. Tausch, what is it about Matt LaFleur? Like, why is he not viewed the same
way? You know, he obviously, I've said this 1,000 times because it's impressive, the winningest coach in the history of the NFL through 3 seasons. But it's 2 things. He's had great quarterback, or he's had an MVP quarterback, and I think in the beginning of his tenure, and he has not won enough in the playoffs. That's what this comes down to, because the coaches, you're judged on playoff success. And almost everybody that we said yes ahead of, McVay, championship, Harbaugh, John, yes. Sirianni, I didn't even say yes, and he's got one. Andy Reid, obviously. Sean Payton, who I disagree with at this point, but Sean Payton, he's got the pelt on the wall. Boom. That's what this comes down to. So for a coach, you can be an offensive wunderkind. If Sean McVay didn't win a championship, people would start wondering, like, how wunderkindy is he? Hey, he's smart. I don't think there's anyone in the NFL circles that doesn't think Matt LaFleur is a good play caller, and he has good concepts. Now, you want to look at how the season finished last year, you can make an argument like, well, what the heck are you talking about? But on the whole, through his tenure, I think he has done a very good job. But until you get more success postseason, your legacy, just like quarterbacks' legacies, are kind of built on what you do postseason. Coaches, it's even more so. Because look at Marty Schottenheimer was a great coach. Nobody even talks about him.
He got fired after a 14-2 season.
I don't know if he's even in the Hall of Fame. Guy had a legendary career, and because he couldn't find a way, whether it was the fumble down in Cleveland or the drive, all you got to do is get one of those, and you're probably your lore goes forever. Matt LaFleur is kind of stuck in that spot, and until that happens, this is why he's not ranked in the top 10.
So Donnie and DeForest with a question that we have asked before, which I think is fair, even though not everyone agrees with it. Without the NFL expanding the playoffs to 7 teams, Love and LaFleur would have missed the playoffs each of the last 2 years. It'd be interesting to see what the narrative would be on them right now if that were the case. Yeah. It would be. it would be three straight years of missing the playoffs. How would that be viewed?
How would LaFleur still be the head coach if that was the case?
Yes, only because they transitioned to Love. Right? And they would have
you're
had the argument.
Okay, I'm not going to disagree with you, but if you're telling me that you have Rodgers, you don't make it his last season. You transfer over to Jordan Love, and you don't make it. And then last year, you don't make the playoffs?
So if you go 11-6...
I don't know if I agree with you on that.
If you go 11-6 and you don't make the playoffs because two 10-7 division winners made it and you didn't, I do think that he doesn't get fired because he went 11-6 but missed the playoffs. Instead, there's an even more intense debate about reseeding the playoffs and getting rid of divisions, right? Because then you actually have a team that went 11-6 and didn't go to the playoffs, even though two other teams did with lesser records. So, no, I don't think it would have gotten him fired.
Three seasons in Green Bay where you don't make a playoff and you think you're going to keep your job, good luck. I bet you if you followed up with Ed Policy and said, hey, man, let's say your coach misses the playoffs. And, again, there's circumstances. This was a unique one.
It's different now.
It's a little different, but it's easier to make a playoff. And I don't care if they're, woe is me. If somebody won a division at 9-whatever. Oh, great, 9-8. There's still seven spots.
Okay, but we're talking about if there wasn't. They go 11-6.
There is.
The text from Don.
There is seven spots.
just pretend they never expanded the playoffs to seven teams.
I understand Donnie's point, but I'm
he didn't miss the playoffs last year.
You're always telling me I'm living in the past, man. It's the 1980s.
No, I want
right
you to answer
now,
the question. I want you to answer the question.
Did, okay.
They don't make the playoffs. They go 11-6 last year. There's only six playoff berths. They go 11-6 and don't make the playoffs. You're telling me that Mark Murphy fires Matt LaFleur on his way out the door after 11-6 season because they will have missed the playoffs each of the last 3 years. That's what you're telling me. I don't agree with you. I don't think he would have gotten fired.
If there are three straight years that this team doesn't make the playoffs, 11-6. Yes, it matters if you're 11-6 or if you're.
He went 9-8 with. Let's use 2023 also. They missed the playoffs, which is what Donnie's point is. Going 9-8 and finishing with three straight wins, transitioning from Rodgers to Love. They missed the playoffs. Mike McCarthy didn't get fired because you guys didn't make the playoffs in 08 with a new quarterback. And you went 6-10. They had a winning record. So, again, we're just living in the world where there's not seven spots, and they've missed the playoffs in 22, 23, and 24, and they've had winning records in 23 and 24 with a new quarterback. I don't think Matt LaFleur's getting fired for that. I don't. And I can't believe you don't agree.
I am not living in the sixth playoff world, so I'm not going down that hype. That variable.
That's the
I'm
whole
telling you.
Point of the text.
Okay, great. You can live on that one. That's fine. And I'm saying if you're going to ask me if you're going to be okay with three straight years of out making the playoffs in Green Bay, the answer is no. That's not what happened. And they had one of the great playoff wins to help spur that on and with the quarterback, no doubt about it. But to sit here and act as if, well, there's going to be three straight years that they don't make the playoffs with seven teams, and I know that's not what Donnie's saying. That's what I'm saying. Donnie has his point. Great. I get it. It's an interesting point. That's not the narrative that I'm talking about. When there's seven teams making the playoffs, and you're the Green Bay Packers, and you go three seasons without doing it, I don't think Mark Murphy's going to stand for that. No. I don't care if they're 11-6 or if they're 10-7, and somebody else wins eight games. It doesn't matter. It's title time, baby. This isn't about just, be good. It's not what it is.
Tell us about Kohler Services.
Oh, okay. I'll try to do that as we sit here. Looking to update your bath or shower? Our friends at Kohler Services have an offer for you. Family-owned for 150 years, Kohler is your Wisconsin manufacturer providing care for life. And this month only, you get zero interest financing for 12 months and a free shower door with your Lugstone shower remodel. Visit KohlerServicesWI.com to request your free quote with fast professional installation always included. That's KohlerServicesWI.com. What I don't understand is you've been around long enough. Ray Rhodes got fired for 1 year. He was fired after 1 year when they didn't make it. Now, the expectation game is different, but if you're telling me with seven playoff spots and they don't make the playoffs one of those 3 years, you still think Matt LaFleur is coaching the Green Bay Packers?
That is not what we were talking about. And if he had missed the playoffs each of the last 3 years with seven playoff berths, that would have required less than 11-6 record to do. There were two 10-7 teams that missed it last year. But no, that's not what we're talking about. And so, no, I don't think he would survive missing the playoffs 3 years in a row. I agree with you. But that's not the world we live in either. If we're only doing certain hypotheticals, that's a hypothetical because they didn't miss the playoffs the last 2 years. So, again, if they have the exact same seasons the last 3 years and there's only six playoff berths, is a totally different conversation. If they miss the playoffs last year and miss it in, I don't think he gets fired if they miss the playoffs in Jordan Love's first year as the starting quarterback. And let's be honest, they almost did. And I don't think he was ever in danger when they made that switch. If, let's say they don't win the last game of the season in 2023 and they miss the playoffs at 8-9, I don't think he gets fired. But if they miss the playoffs again last year with seven teams because they go 9-8 or 8-9 again, yeah, I think there's a, and if he's not fired, his seat is scorching hot. But the point of the text was perception. And maybe this is part of why he's not in the top 10. Because the last 2 years, they have been the seventh seed, which did not previously exist. So I think it's a reasonable question to ask. If they had missed the playoffs, having the exact same seasons the last 3 years, would he have been fired after the 24th season? And I would say no. I think it would have been really hard for Mark Murphy on his way out the door to fire a coach who went 11-6 with Jordan Love missing two games with injuries and parts of two others. I don't think he would have gotten fired. More Wildy and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
On the air, on demand, on social, on Wisconsin sports. Serving Wisconsin sports fans. This is 100.5 ESPN.
So that memorable day where I was out on the golf course with Sid and she had a little bit of trouble in the out-of-bounds area. Later on in that program, Tausch and Jesse had Wayne Larrivee on, which I listened to on my ride back from Winnegame Golf Course. And he said this about Matthew Golden and Savion Williams. And we never got around to talking about it. So here is the voice of the Packers, Wayne Larrivee.
The draft is always a cross between the present and the future. We, in the media, we as fans, want to see immediate impact from a draft choice. And most of the time, that's not why the kid was picked. He's picked because they see upside down the road. And I think with these wide receivers, that's part of it. Now, we expect to see Williams on some gadget plays. And certainly we expect to see Golden make plays as a rookie. But really, I think those selections were because the Packers know where they're going to be a year and 2 years from now.
I feel like Matthew Golden is going to be a disappointment if he has little to no impact in his rookie season. Am I mischaracterizing what the expectations are for the first wide receiver selected in the first round by the Green Bay Packers in 23 years?
It depends on what that production looks like. But, yeah, if he is not a go-to weapon, doesn't need to be the top guy, but if he is not someone that is incredibly productive really by Halloween and on, yeah, like this isn't like a third or fourth round pick that you hope develops. First round wide receivers, you can make an impact. You maybe don't have the consistency. Like, I'm not expecting him to be Jay Jettis, but I'm not expecting him to be, I don't remember the guy that Philly took ahead of him that everybody went crazy about. It has to be closer to Jay Jettis than not. And in today's NFL, with what Green Bay has coming back, Matthew Golden needs to be an impact player at some point in the season. Not right away, but at some point.
All right, let me give you some rookie stat lines. Tell me if, because look, I don't know what Savion Williams is going to be. I don't know what he is right now. He's wearing a red no-contact jersey throughout the entire offseason program. And they were doing things at half speed and three-quarter speed. And he didn't take part in the one period that they would have that was full speed, which was 2 minute, which they didn't even have in the Thursday final practice of the minicamp when they disassembled the obstacle course.
We're well aware of that. Yes.
If he catches 45 passes for 632 yards and 3 touchdowns, is that a good enough season for you for Matthew Golden? Yes or no?
45 catches. What is that? Yeah, I'd be all right with that.
Those were Greg Jennings' numbers his rookie season.
Yeah.
If he catches 47 passes for 676 yards and 2 touchdowns, are you okay with that season?
Yes.
That was James Jones's rookie numbers.
Okay.
If he catches 33 passes for 366 yards and 2 touchdowns, will you be disappointed in his performance then?
Yes.
Those were Jordy Nelson's rookie numbers in 2008.
Got him.
If he catches... No, I don't think I got him.
What do you mean, got him?
If he catches 25 passes for 375 yards and 1 touchdown, will you
no,
be
Devontae.
Disappointed in those numbers?
I will be disappointed, Devontae.
That is Randall Cobb in 2011.
Got him.
Disappointed, yes.
If he catches 38 passes for 446 yards and 3 touchdowns, but has a big game against the Dallas Cowboys in a playoff game.
Oh, boy. Who could it be?
Will he be disappointed?
Well, how big of a game in the playoff game?
I don't know. Do you remember what Devontae did against the Cowboys in the game? Yeah. 100 yards,
I would say, touchdown. I think, if you're able to show that you're becoming that guy and you can bounce and have a big playoff game, I will probably almost give you a full pass on the regular season. So, yes, I would not be disappointed with that.
All right, last two. If he has 42 catches for 425 yards and 3 touchdowns, will you be satisfied?
Ty Montgomery.
How many yards?
425.
That's right about at my floor. I'll say I'd be all right with it.
Those were Romeo Dobbs' rookie season numbers.
Yeah.
And finally, because I'm not going to do 2023 with Wicks and Reed, 41 catches, 611 yards, and 7 touchdowns.
See what?
As a rookie.
See what?
And 1 big drop against Minnesota.
I'd be really happy with that. Absolutely.
And a stretch of 3 games where he was Randy Moss-esque You will That's definitely be happy with that.
That is what I heard.
Just like you'll be happy with the legal advice you get if you've suffered a serious injury if you call Grubel Offices. One call, that's all. 414-276-6666. 414-276-6666. Grubel Offices. Make the call if you've been injured. And go to the website to find out more about their history, about all the great lawyers that are there, all the things that David and his family support in our communities. Gruber-Law.com on the web. More Wilde and Tausch as we kick off the 11 o'clock hour in 2 minutes. So stick around.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.